Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to Sister Seta Aset on the Truth to Power show, and my name is Beverly D. And for those of you that's not familiar with Sister Seta Aset, she is a true believer in the metaphysical side of reality. She has written for such publications as Helium and Science Friction magazine. Her mentors were Dr. Delbert Blair and Bobby Hemmett, just to name a few. And right now she's working on her books in a movie. So let's get Sister Seta up. Sister Seta, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, Sister Beverly. And how about you?
Good, good, good. Excellent.
Good.
So for those that are not familiar with your work, tell them what are you doing, who you are, and where they can find your work at.
Okay. Well, first off, my name is Seta. I'm Aseta Moon Aliel. That's my whole name. On legal paper, to be exact. And I love science fiction. I'm a science fiction writer, author, entrepreneur. And, you know, I have 5 novels out there at this moment, and it's about to be 7. So the first novel is Bright Light. The second one is Gathering of the Vanguard, which we just finished reading. The War is what we're into now. The fourth book is Nidix, which is really exciting. And also the last one that is in print right now is In the Realm of the Gods. I am working on a sixth, which is called Chemistry Area 51. And the last book that I'm dealing with right now that I'm working on is called Cosmic Legacy. So right now I am doing also voiceovers. And if you go to my website, which is chemistry.com, that's chemistry with a K, K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y, and you go there and you come to the HOC and the DOC, those voices that you hear is actually my voices, where I do my own voices for my characters. And so, and I also, you can also get the novels on Amazon.com as well. And I do have some links on my website where you can go there. If you want to leave me an email, my email is chemistryfiles@gmail.com. Again, spelled the same way, K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y, chemistryfiles@gmail.com, and drop me a line. And I can send you a novel, and I will, you know, I will sign it for you and send it to you that way if you like something personalized.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. So we are on the book War now, correct?
Yes, The War. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we finished doing, I think we did the prologue, and we came into some of the information she was giving out. And we did part 76, the transition. So right now we're into, and it's a countdown. And I don't want anyone to confuse themselves when they do get the novels. It's a countdown. And we started on part 100. And so we're counting down from there. And so right now we're on part 75, the ultimatum. And so I want to say this before we get started. These works are a fiction, nonfiction, okay, and it's for entertainment purposes only. So I don't want anyone to get stressed out and say, well, no, that's not right, or, you know, that's not correct. Some of the things that I do write in here, you can Google them. They are there. But other than that, it is fiction, nonfiction.
Okay.
For our entertainment.
So, okay. So we are on chapter 75 now.
Mhm. Yes.
Okay. The ultimatum.
Mhm.
Okay. You ready? We're ready.
Yes. I want to kind of give an update on where we were, where we've been. Okay. Now this young woman was born basically to save part of the human race. Now, not everybody's going to be able to be saved, and we know that in this reality. We know this. Okay, so, you know, I want everybody to understand that. Now, right now, she's found the person that is going to be with her through all of this. And he is a brother, and they are together. It's she's not separate and have all the power to herself. It is shared. They both share the same power. And so right now they've been challenged by, let me stop right there. Sister Beverly, do you hear a noise in the background? Like sort of like a connection problem in the background?
Because you come in.
I don't know if it's on my end. Oh, okay. Okay.
Can
okay,
you hear
good.
Me
so,
clear?
Okay. Yes, I can. I just hear, I kind of hear some kind of noise, like the noise in the background is kind of like it's a bad connection. But as long as you can hear me, I'm good. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
It's no static
okay.
or nothing.
Okay. Okay. So we're, okay. So they were challenged by the governments of Africa, which is now Africa, is not countries on a continent. Right now in this day and time, it is a whole country. The whole continent of Africa has come together. This is how far up in the future we are in this. And so she's been challenged, along with her king, by the African government and the North American government, because the North American government feels like that the ships that they found in Africa that they took to North America have flown back to pick the people up. So they're saying they're in possession, you know, of their ships, and they can't take off with them. They're violating, you know, their policies. They're violating their laws, and they can't take off in those ships. So they sent both the armies to retrieve them and plus have her and her king stand down. You know, we're going to take you into custody. Mm-hmm. You're going to stand down. These people are going to get off this ship, and we want our things back. So this is where they are right now. So, but she had something in store for them. What she did was, she didn't kill them. You know, there was no malice. She didn't hurt anybody. What they did was they put them to sleep. And so basically the entire world is at sleep right now. They're asleep. So this is where we are. This is where we began. Okay.
So the people that the people that's looking for her, like the general and them, they're asleep too?
Yes, everybody is asleep. That's the type of power that they wield, yeah. And this was the type of power that the governments were afraid of. They were afraid of it. So they were doing all they could to cage them up.
Okay.
And they couldn't. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Part 75, the ultimatum. At 6 a.m. bright and early, Femi and Zuri awoke before the world. And when they did, they both experienced the exact thoughts and dreams of what they would need to do while addressing the leaders. They felt a need to inform all of humankind, man and so-called man, about what was going to happen so the people could hold their leaders responsible and for the leaders to not have power to hold them and Mother Earth hostage anymore. Sister Bab, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to hang up and then call you back on another line because I'm getting this feedback, and it's really annoying. So I'm going to have to change lines if you don't mind.
Okay, so I'll play your other song until we reconnect. So that's fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. All right, everyone, just hold on, get you a water break, and let me see if I can find her other music here, and we can listen to that. And her books are excellent. And this is, you know, it's not too often that you get the author to come and read the book for you. So wait a minute. I don't even have to play any music. Here she is. Okay. All right. Is that better?
That is so much better, Sister Bev. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and that sound is gone too. So it had to be on my end, but.
It was, I couldn't hear. All right.
Okay, so we'll continue. Okay, so no one would be ignorant to the secrecy the once powerful and evil kind of man held over them. The planet will be brought back to her original state and wiped clean. There will be no more misuse of her natural resources and no more poisoning of the water or the air. There will be no more senseless killing of its citizens and no more hurt and pain among the masses. It will soon be over. Walking among their own people, occasionally looking in on them, one cabin at a time, and observing them sound asleep was almost a crime of having to awaken them for the meeting. Are you ready for this? Asked Zuri. If you are, then so am I, she replied. The two separated and went around to each cabin, awakening their enlightened people to prepare themselves for breakfast and a meeting at the Kaaba. Once the word was conveyed, it spread all through the camp. After everyone refreshed themselves, they began to gather at the main dining cabin to a breakfast in which Zuri led the reverent chant to the prime creators. Afterward, everyone, including the children, moved into the interior of the camp and piled into the Kaaba. They seated themselves all around the solid gold stone square. Once they were seated, Femi and Zuri seated themselves in the middle of their people on the square. The people were chattering among each other, asking why they were not on their way from the carnage and the suffering at the hands of the ones who hated them most. Ayira whispered to Leo and asked him why their daughter and her king had them once again in the Kaaba for a meeting that hadn't liberated them. His reply to her was he wanted to know the same as well. Sisters and brothers, children alike, I know you want to know why we are still here on Mother Earth. Mother Earth is precious to us, and not only that, she's very important to the entire universe. We all agree that she should not have been treated like she has. The mistreatment of her has caused much pain and grief among the masses. In truth, she should be celebrated by all that is good, peaceful, and just. And in actuality, there is enough food, land, and water for every living thing on her. You also may wonder why those people are lying asleep out there in your front yard. And most importantly, to the children, I know it looks and feels strange to you that it appears they have ascended, but they have not. They are sleeping a little longer than usual. I will awaken them when I have given a complete understanding to all of you. Femi took a deep breath and continued. After you boarded the ships to leave here, I was halted by the prime creators. I was told to stop and listen to instruction. I was told all life is a precious thing to the creators, for nothing is harmed, hurt, or annihilated. People are supposed to have a chance to live a life well-rounded in spirituality, harmony, and a way to survive together. My instructions were to give these people, especially the blinded, another chance in this life, to give them a chance to change and do what is right by all things that nature calls on them to do. I was also told that we will be the guardians of our own nations, which will consist of southern Amexum, Mexico, the South American continent, and the isles of Cuba, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Haiti, and all the islands in the area. We will protect the areas south. We will protect the areas south of the far eastern continent below the 33 degree parallel, and of course, El Kabilon. Most of our problems are located in the northern parts of the world. Mankind in the southeastern areas seem to have learned their lessons, but we will keep a close eye on all their activities. While the Dracons are still active in this part, still an active part in all of this. Anyone who is willing to stay connected to disorder, chaos, and all things that goes against the Mayat will have his wish. For what we want and need is a complete continental divide from the thoughts of the Western world. We will not tolerate barbarism or atrocities of any kind from any country that is in these areas that I will be naming. All religions and make-believe systems will be wiped clean. All those who are in southern Amexum will reside below the 33-degree parallel. There are reasons for this, and the main one is our DNA. We do not belong anywhere where it doesn't benefit our genetic makeup. While some of you are part human, you cannot function as well, but as a spiritual entity, you can adapt to anything to survive if necessary. And at the moment, it is not. I will put in place eye watchers to rule and guard over these areas until I receive other instructions from the creators. How I choose these eye watchers will depend solely upon you and your devotion to what is needed to be done. One of the brothers asked her, "Ashe, my queen, I am from the Teotihuacan region, and with your permission, I would guard the whole of Mexico and the South American area with my fellow brothers and sisters. Brother Miso, it is yours. Now you must choose 90 others to assist you, and after you do, go to your king so he may give you further instruction on what is needed of you and your group." "Peace, my queen," he replied. "Are there any other family members who want to get closer to where they were similarly living to guard the people and while there enlighten them about who they are?" Many hands were raised up to be eye watchers for their king and queen, but it was so many that Femi and Zuri couldn't see through them all. So they confided in each other and they made a decision. For the Isle of Cuba, Zuri chose 3 from Louisiana. He chose 2 from Georgia, USA, to guard Jamaica, and 2 from New Guinea to guard Haiti, and so on for the other isles. From these points, the continent of North America was within their observation so that they may maintain a constant watch of how the people were treated. If the harsh treatment continued as it did before the departure, then there would be repercussions placed upon its administration. Now that we have confirmed where our eye watchers will be placed onto the earth, I want all of you to go about your everyday life, living and working, either here at the camp or out into El Cabulon. If you so desire, you may leave El Cabulon and go to the places where the eye watchers will secure the people from the enemy. Ashe, until we convene at the next meeting. After they all disassembled out of the Kaaba, Ayura asked her daughter for some private time for a discussion. Accompanied by her husband, she asked, "Daughter, what does all this mean exactly?" "Mother, father, I want you to stay at the camp. Zuri and I are going to build habitats here for the conscious ones, especially for our older families. If a few decide to go and venture out into this country and the other places I have named, then they are most welcome to do so. But I want you to keep this in mind. Zuri and I want you and his mother to be close to us, for it is far from being over. There are many things to come as it concerns the evil lies of the world, especially when it comes to the Dracons and their minions. I know they are planning something insidious against us with our own sleeping people and those who hate us naturally. The serpents and beasts will never let go of the havoc they've had on the planet ever since they were dropped off by those who did not want them on their planet. So, the test now is to survive here with them for a while until I can judge what our next step will be. But do not be afraid. It will be all right because you know the ways of the Dogon now. You have been taught everything you need to know about defending yourself against any ugly power that might come against you. The power of the Ma'at will never let you down. It will protect you like it has protected me. My daughter, you make me proud. You have taken on the warrior spirit I have in me. Don't get me wrong. I will still go to battle with you and for you. The fire the Creator has bestowed in you, in Zuri, is incredible. You are not afraid of any man or anything, and yet, deep down as a father, I can't help but worry. Never worry, Father, for if you do, then that won't help any of us. I understand what you are saying. Therefore, your mother and I will be happy to stay here. That'll be one less thing you have to contend with. Whatever decision you make, your mother and I will be with you. Both Femi and Zuri collaborated with one another and knew this was the perfect time to awaken the troublesome humans from their sleep. This would be the last beacon of hope for man and his kind in achieving a better world that would bestow a sense of harmony to him. While the Dogon was preparing plans to make good on a permanent city for the people who will occupy the mountain, the remaining enlightened group was curious in wonderment about how the president of both the United States and Alcabulon would feel when each were going to be told they would have to consent to the laws the creators passed down to Femi and Zuri. Femi wanted to make sure all was secure at home. So, with one of the powers bestowed on them by the creators, they walked over to their aggressors and created a field of energy around them and the two presidents only, with no interference from anyone, and certainly not their evil armies. Seeing this take place, Femi and Zuri's parents, along with the Hogan, was assured that these two young people had captured the world and had it under control from the beast and its cohorts. Zuri waved his ankh over the two men, and Femi spoke. She said solidly, "Arise, presidents of North Amexum and Alcabulon, rise and stand up." As they lay on their backs, the men slowly opened their eyes, looked up, and saw Femi and Zuri looking down upon them. Feeling highly dizzy from his slumber, the president of America was the first to quickly jump up, dusted himself off, and asked what happened. The president of Alcabulon lay on the ground for a little while longer, knowing that he and his army were defeated before they even began, was a total disappointment. Finally, he arose and began to feel the same dizziness the American president felt. "We have decided to suspend our original plans we had for your kind on this earth. We know, and you know, she has had all she can take with your feet on her soil. Too much blood has spilt through many, many years upon the earth's ground needlessly, with lies, hatred, grief, and war. We had a sworn duty to help her get rid of your stench, but at the moment we were stopped from carrying out your demise. We have been given new instructions for your survival, which I will not inform you of at this time. However, Zuri and I will send you and your armies back to whence you came, and in time we will come and speak of what we expect of humanity concerning this planet and its residents." Both presidents were steaming with anger at this very young woman's instruction about what she planned to do for mankind and the well-being of this planet. Who was she to demand these men leave this country and override their plans about their army and their place in the world? But they knew she could do it, and there was absolutely nothing they could do about it. Soon after, Zuri raised the rest of the invaders to life. Walking away, the two presidents were joined by their military generals and their secret guards, of whom they instructed to stand down until further notice. And after all was said, they packed up their entire death machine and departed, leaving nothing behind but defeat. All right, Sister Bev, that was it.
Okay. And so now I was looking for that email you say you sent me. Which email did you send it to me?
Oh, it's been about a week, and let me check and see. I can go to my email. It's been about a couple of weeks.
Oh,
maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
it wasn't
fine.
Recent.
I can't find it. Okay. Okay. I know, yeah. I've been looking and looking, and I'm like, I can't find it. But which one do you, well, was it the truth?
There are several, so I'm going to.
Okay.
I think
okay.
It's on, I think
we'll
it is.
Figure it out.
Yeah. I think it was okay. Truth prediction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all right. I'll look it up.
Which is beautiful,
okay,
by
now,
the way. I think everybody should read to get into truth predictions. It's beautiful.
Now, what on those spaceships and things, did anybody come on those spaceships? Or they've been here for a while or what?
Yes, they had been there for a while because basically they came, I say these ships arrived here about maybe 6 or 7,000 years ago, and they had just been in that desert. And it's been so long that, you know, the sand and the dust and the, you know, the dirt, the ground just covered over them. And
okay.
So when it was time for her to walk the earth, they started to unearth themselves slowly until one of them was sticking out of the dirt. And then they just happened to, they were digging for oil, you know, and they hit one of them. And then they just pulled them on out of the earth. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happened, where is anybody in them or those people or whatever, aliens, or were they lived way back in that time, thousands of years ago, or what?
Yes, there were some entities in each one of them because they came to pick them up. That's what they come for. But, yeah, there were some entities, and they lay dormant in the ship until it was time to go.
Okay. So now they're being awakening, activated.
Right. They've awakened, and they've activated, and they were on their way to go until they were confronted by these armies. And so now what Femi has done is she's put the entities in the ship back to sleep in the mountain. You know, they flew back into the mountain instead of in the desert. Mm-hmm. They went back into the mountain where they are. Uh-huh. And so they're back asleep again. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty. So now we have time. We could do another chapter.
Okay, so now she's waking everybody, you know, everybody in the camp is woke, and she told them, explained to them what was going on. So then she went and awakened the presidents and their armies, and, of course, everybody else is not awoke yet, but, you know, they're really pissed off at her about, you know, telling them what she going to do. So, and they've been, they really haven't been keeping house.
Okay.
The house is dirty. So she's cleaning house.
Kind of like what's going on now. A lot of house cleaning going on in the government. A lot of fighting.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And they don't like it that she changing things and not listening to them and taking charge, basically.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, basically she's taking charge because they have done such a poor job, you know, at trying to govern the people, and, you know, everybody's suffering and things like that. And it's, you know, we think we got something going on now, you know, back more up into the future, it's going to be worse than that. So we're in the future time right now. I say this would be maybe 2039, somewhere along in there.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we're on, Part 74, the organization. Okay. In the meantime, The people were meticulously waiting until the last of the forces that tried its best to destroy them clear out from the area. They made sure they left no stones unturned to retaliate against them if they left the protection of the camp too soon. So basically, these armies, you know, the opposition was waiting on them to come out the camp so they can shoot them down, but they didn't leave, you know, right away. Okay, Phemy and her king informed the elders of their departure to the highest peak on the mountain, away from the people, to awaken and restore the rest of humanity. Meanwhile, the military, along with President Foster, Edwin and Clara and President Jelani, were watching the lifeless bodies in horror as their armada trekked down the slope. They were observing the sleeping population lying on the ground, either on their backs, their stomachs, across park benches, cars, sitting in cars that had been in motion. Buses and all types of transportation had ceased. Animals of all kinds joined in the aftermath of what was dubbed spontaneous genocide. Nigel Andrew Foster said to himself, if this is the kind of power these two young people have in their hands, then it is a necessity to relieve it by any means known to man. After that thought, Zuri's adopted father asked, Nigel, do you see what I'm seeing? Yes, and I was thinking, how in the hell could they do this? I'm trying to understand what God would order this kind of destruction upon us. One who is angry as hell at our history and what mankind did in the past. This is very profound, and we shouldn't take it lightly. This is something much more destructive, much more critical and inclusive for us to be playing chess with. These two are not giving us any choice but to adhere to their demands. I'm not about to face them in a confrontation. If there was just a hint of war on your mind, Nigel, I'd rethink that notion. Now, I'm going to sit this out and try to make sense of what they want and how to make sure the people of Alcabulon are safe. This is too much devastation to see with my own eyes. And they aren't even at war with us. Whatever this is, we cannot win it. Am I hearing you right, Jelani? Are you backing down? Asked Nigel. Are you crazy? Yes, I am, for the moment. And until I know what their plans are and what I'm dealing with, I will be as cooperative as I can be. I am not going to pump my chest out and have them angry with me, not with this kind of power, he replied. Along the way, the military convoy continued to observe the bodies that lay along the side of the road in the dirt as if they just stopped in their tracks. Cars were full of people in the streets where they had either lost control or ran off into a brick wall. When they arrived in Uganda, the devastation was even greater. Everything was in disarray. There were fires burning out of control, vehicle accidents on every corner, and masses of people lying everywhere. It was an unspeakable situation, and there was nothing that could describe what the men were viewing. The convoy drove on and reported back to the president's general that at the time the same thing was happening 20 miles ahead. Edwin sat in disbelief while Clara closed her eyes ever so tightly away from the carnage. President Foster screamed out, when the hell is she going to wake them? Can't they see we have been defeated? The people have suffered long enough, and with the power she holds, I'm sure she knows how much more they can take. For the first time in the history of man, these leaders who control two of the most powerful militaries in the world felt the lowest of lows in their entire political history. To know that one woman and one man brought them all to their knees, helpless, paralyzed, blinded, sideswiped, and at their mercy with the wave of an ankh and a staff. Air Force One was still waiting on the tarmac when they arrived. When the pilots seated in the same with the pilots seated in the same position as they were when they were rendered sleep, one of the Secret Service men tried his best to arouse them out of their slumber, to no avail. "Oh, Edwin," said Clara, "I just want to get out of here." "Dear, they're doing everything they can to get us all back to Cairo. Since there was no one experienced enough to fly the plane, they all had a chance to sit and simmer in their stew. They could, for once in their miserable lives as a collective, realize what they had allowed to happen to the world. In general, was a effing big ass mistake. Now, not only do they have to deal with the Creator's army, they had to somehow quell the anger of the Dracons. Their asses was on the line, but billions of people were caught in the middle of the chaos. On this trip, none of the Dracons had accompanied them to confront Finney, so they assumed they were in retaliation mode on their ship that was perched in the waters off the Pacific coastline, bringing into being their methods of wrath down upon man and his kind when they were not successful in bringing down the enlightened ones. These men were so afraid, the president of Alcabulon prayed in his spirit that Femi would hear his prayer in his powerful mind, that he would sincerely be forgiven for his ignorance, to save the world, to save him. They sat there for hours, closed mouthed, staring at each other, wondering what was next. During this time, Femi and Zuri were on their way to awaken the world when he suggested to her, instead of sending a message across the skies to the leaders, make night a constant until they complied. And she thought that was excellent. But instead of constant night, Femi suggested a constant daylight, 90 and 100 degree weather with no rain all across the planet until they had no other choice but to comply. Once the world was reawakened, let this be a testament to all who search for an understanding of why. When they reached the top, they looked at the expanse of the universe and all its glorious wonderment. They decided, to take a flight around each planet in this solar system to view them on a personal note, for they knew there are other living things on each one. The universe is alive and teeming with an abundance of life. But many have been taught to believe the opposite. As above, so below, it is said. Zuri sent a message to the Hogan that he and Femi plan to connect to interstellar flight and become one totally and complete with all things. Once the connection was made, the Hogan relayed this information to Leo, and the two people were on their way. They held hands and physically boosted themselves off the mountain and shot forcefully into the stratosphere, bearing nothing but their consciousness as their guide. Each planet they visit was just as lustrous as the last one. There were no signs of upright walking entities, but there were signs of life in one form or the other. However, on Mars and Venus, Saturn and Mercury, there had been signs of a more intelligent life form, and when they walked these planets, there were remnants of civilizations that inhabited it millions of years ago. There were structures on all of them, similar to the dwellings the Dogon, the Hopis, and the Anasazi once lived in. On Mercury, there stood a tower made out of blistonite that was well over 30 miles high, and below that was a very large colony of circular structures that the Mercuryites once lived and sustained themselves in. Seeing all of this was a gift to know that for the moment, the inhabitants of Earth might be saved from their extinction. Femi and Zuri were so attuned to the cosmos that the human in them almost forgot the urgency of life on Earth. So they cut short the beauty and splendor of creation and returned home. Upon returning, Zuri signaled to Abdul the importance of the next step in awakening humanity and to prepare the conscious ones of the fervor from the masses who would genuinely not understand what happened to them. After all, it had been 2 days since they had succumbed to their power. The question was how their leaders were going to explain this phenomenon away with clear answers. As before, they raised their ankhs and Akhenaten's scepter and reversed the effects of the comatose condition of the sleeping many below. To them, this was the natural state the sinister gave to the people for years to keep them unconscious. But once awake, they wondered just how many would rebel against them. If they didn't realize the answers after they opened their eyes, they would soon be part of something their evil leaders could never explain. The immaculate power that rose from the staff up into the cosmos, as before, gave life to those who began to rouse out of their slumber. The majority felt the effects of dizziness, while others were extremely nauseous. Others were mortified and very frightened of what had taken place. Many had defecated and urinated on themselves, wondering why they were not near a restroom. The pilots on Air Force One were grossly stupefied when they awoke. The massive problems of the world that came forward after life was interrupted, were too unspeakable to dissect. This was the talk among the people all around the world as news began to flood the airwaves of the happening, but no one had an answer. Dissension divided the races so quickly that in each country, martial laws were mandatory and in effect more now than before the sleep. The theories began to flow on the wrath of God scenario and the so-called second coming, drowned the religious broadcasting stations. The misinformed preachers started to spew their lies as taught to them by Pope Peter the 18th and his henchmen to further put fear in the people into submitting to Christianity and all the other zealous religions affiliated with it. Realizing this, Zuri said, "What are we going to do? We need to do it expeditiously so those who feel they still hold the world in their hands cannot overrule the people again." "Well, you are correct, my king. We must begin the daylight immediately. This will be the action to take for the gratification the people need in order to completely break free from oppression. I am full of hope that the people don't have to suffer long after this. The leaders will have to come to us to correct after the truth has been revealed." While a major world cleanup was taking place, Femi called for another meeting with the elders only. She informed them of the pending event that would be taking place within the next few hours. "Daughter, what has the creators planned for us now?" asked the Yira. "The creators haven't planned anything for us. It is planned for the ones who have created great evil upon the planet. It seems they are content with what they have experienced, and now they are proceeding as if it was an anomaly, something they can't fully explain to the people. They are using religion, science fiction, and everything that is not truth to explain away their diabolical scheme to continue their evil stronghold on the human race. We know the leaders who pleaded to us before the sleep are refusing to answer any questions the people have for them. Now, I want to know how they are going to explain to the masses when night becomes day for a Kwan, which means a month. Should we be on high alert when they find it is you that has placed them in distress once again? No, Father, for they will have no other choice but to gather up their fellow leaders and meet with me. They know how valuable it will be towards their existence to continue to survive here on this planet. They can abide through me or the Dracons they serve. Sister, when are you planning on initiating the daylight? Asked Abdul. In a few weeks, when the clock strikes at 11 a.m., I will then remove the night, and by doing this, I will take advantage of the two suns that are in the shadows. I will bring them out of hiding, move them trilateral of the earth, and allow them to shine. So as the earth rotates, she will receive three suns consistently. Remember this, Sol is not our enemy, for the chosen ones absorb the light of Anu. So family, go inform the others and let them know not to fear, for the creators will take care of them. The elders returned to the people and repeated word for word what was explained to them. The people were extremely proud of their queen, so much so that they wanted to celebrate a feast of some sort to show their love and support for such a strong and enduring young woman and her young male counterpart for the fight of the laws of righteousness given down many centuries ago by the strength of the Maat. When our work is done, we return Earth back to her true form and vibration that corresponds to this universe. Then that would mark a time for celebration before we return back to our universe, said Zuri. The Hogan replied with a statement and a meditation to all who were present. There will be plenty of time to celebrate, for our young warriors are about to free us all from the injustices and the tyranny of man and his kind, and from those who mistakenly resemble human. Peace is within them and the Eye Watchers, for their quest will be a long and arduous one. May the creators and the Maat follow them to victory and peace in the universe. May the ancestors keep them safe from harm. The people disassembled and returned to their cabins for what was to be one of the longest Kwans ever in history, as it was known throughout the millennium. Leo began to think what was going to happen to planet Earth and how the people of the planet would live to see a month of continuous daylight that would befall over all of them. How would a normal person react to comprehend such a happening? On the other hand, Ayura began, being the woman she is, was elated to have birthed such a spirited and phenomenal young woman. She welcomed the thought of her young daughter commanding these people of evil on the planet to cease the terrible acts against a helpless civilization. Ayura was pleased to see this event. Mother, Father, Zuri and I are departing now. I have appointed two Eye Watchers to guard Alcabulon from the north to the south. You all will be safe while we are away. When we return, everyone and everything should be in its place until I am contacted again. Do not fear, for the creators are standing by our side. Love and peace will be with you. Like a mother whose baby was leaving the fold for the first time, Ayura's eyes welled up with tears as she graciously held her daughter. She also held her son in love and wished him strength and resolve. Zuri's mother, Chinwe, held her son as tight as she could, never wanting to release him. "Mother, please, you have to let me go. It's my worth to lead my family to complete freedom from the beast. I just got you back, only to leave again. But truly, I understand why it has to be," she said as she slowly took her arm from around his waist. Leo's reaction was quite different. Being the battle-hardened soldier he once was, he smiled from ear to ear and was very proud of his young and wise daughter and her man and all the 600 others who would follow them out of the camp. To him, they resembled the 187th Battalion Warlord Marines he belonged to once upon a time. He was simply proud. Okay, that was part 72.
All righty. Okay,
mm-hmm. So that was 70. Okay, we on
73
now.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
all
part
right.
74. We're on 73 now. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Now, the part that, yeah, the part, and the number is 323-642-1586 if you have any questions or comments about what the author just read out of her book, The War. Now, what you just read sounds so much like what is going on now with the people being in a sleep, you know, or a hypnotic state, and the ones that are waking up. Now, that part sounds like it's nonfiction, because that seems to be what's going on now, and we are right here, you know, with the war hanging over us and things like that.
Yeah, it's pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I hadn't thought about it in these days and times. This was what, back then, about four or five years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah,
you know, when I read it, I'm kind of feeling the same thing, you know, that you're feeling, Sister Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, that it's more to it. You know, this is what, you know, metaphysical, spiritual, however you want to call it, because it has the time. I mean, it's like, that's why when Dr. X always say the time dictates. So, you know, you wrote it years ago, but it's like right on time because it's what's going on right now.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, back then when I did write it, I kind of felt like we were heading in this direction because at the
mm-hmm.
time, you know, because I used to question myself, you know, this is not correct. I need to wake up. I need to find some answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, that's what I was doing. And when I was going through those answers, I was just, you know, writing them down at the same time. So,
okay.
Yes, time do dictate. Yeah, it takes time for this stuff to, you know, to level out this way, even though, you know, what they were trying to get the powers that be to realize that what you're doing is, I mean, we're going to have good and bad. We're going to have that. And she wasn't saying that you have to be good at two shoes. She wasn't saying
right.
that. She was,
right.
She was just trying to get them to realize that, look, you know, some of the things that y'all doing is just atrocious. You can do better
yeah.
than that, even though everybody's not going to be the same. That's all she
yeah.
was trying to explain to them. Yeah. And they didn't seem to want to listen.
Right, because they don't care. You know, it just seemed like destruction. And that's why I say it just seemed like what's going on now. You know, like you say,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have good and evil, but it don't have
mm-hmm.
to just, like, to me, it feels like that they, whatever this deity or entity, like they are against the humans on this planet.
Exactly. It's deeper. It goes deeper than what we see on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as
mm-hmm.
we said a couple of shows ago, you know, you got that pyramid and you got You can see who's at the top of the pyramid, but what's at the top of the top of the pyramid? There's something going on there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't think that, you know, the president that we have right now, I'm not against him, but because he's a showman, okay? He's about showmanship. You know,
right.
He likes the TV and the, you know, and everything. He likes to be in the limelight. And so with a lot of negative reactions that's going on with him right now, he don't like that. You know, he really don't like that. Donald Trump does not like people that don't like him. And I know that that bothers him because he wants everybody to like him. But he's in a position where everybody can't like him, and he's being put in that position. Because if he had it his way, you know, it would be a party every day in the United States. If he had it his way.
Everybody,
you know.
Everybody would be eating and drinking and have plenty, you know.
Everybody, not just only, it'd be everybody.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
He one of them types that, you know, the people have a party and then the whole on your neighborhood, like, oh, so and so having a party, let's go over there, and you know, everybody eating, drinking, and so. But that's, you know, that's what they call that brotherhood, or you know, that's how it should be. But that's why I'm saying this other force that's there. It's like they just want to destroy. They just want to see people suffer. It's like a hatred. Like they don't like. That's why I say it seems like they don't like humans.
I don't know. I guess it's you there, Sister Bell?
Oh, yeah. No. My phone keeps going off.
Oh,
here.
There we go.
Here.
Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah, it's like a greed fest going. You know, it's they're just greedy. You know, they are a fragile group, and anybody that's fragile and afraid, you know, will do things like this. You know, they are in no way supreme to anything. If you're a scaredy cat, you're not supreme.
Yeah,
you know, you're
that's
not
right.
supreme over. You know, over the ones that are strong, you know, and can take care of themselves. They are a fragile group. And anytime you're afraid, you are not supreme. So I don't give them the title of white supremacy because they are not supreme. Mm-hmm. And I will never put that out in the ether for them. They are a weak and pitiful bunch.
Well, I
they're
think
scared.
That there is a hidden hand that's going on, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz. And I just feel like that is layers. And what's doing this is the top, you know, what's going on at the top. But I just feel like that it's a hidden hand up there. And to me, it doesn't feel like that it's from this earth. It feels like it's from somewhere else.
It is, and that's the weak and pitiful bunch I'm talking about. They may have some knowledge, you know. They may have some knowledge, but it's knowledge that I wouldn't want to learn from them, because if I learned the knowledge that they have, then it you know, I would be in the same position that they're in, and it's just wrong. It's not right to just, you know, kill off life as we know it. And it seems like that's going on.
Yeah. I don't think that they even want us to have their knowledge. You know, their knowledge, they feel, is their knowledge, but it's their agenda that's what they're doing here. And like I say, they just feel like another entity, and, you know, their agenda is to control this planet, to take over the planet. You know how you had the gangs that come in and take over certain neighborhoods and things like that? Well, they want the planet, and this is what they've been working on for a long time. This just didn't start.
Right. You know, Femi said, you know, They don't, you know, somebody came and dropped them off over here, you know. They come from somewhere else and, you know, they were dropped off over. Well, that's, you know, that's fiction. But she was saying whoever it is, you know, what's going on, the Dracons and all these other entities as well, it's more than them. I say, you know, it's countless number of, and I say this in all sincerity, that there are countless other beings on this planet other than the human
kind.
Exactly. You know.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
They are well hidden. And, you know, yeah. And they've been here for a very, very long time to know who we are, know our anatomy, how we think, you know, how we react, what, you know, the things that we do. You know, they just learning. And I do believe that, and a lot of people were saying, well, they are terraforming the planet. I don't think they're terraforming the planet. The planet is just going through this. This is what Gaia is doing. She's just going through another age. Like she was in the ice age. So now she's coming out of the ice age and it's getting hotter. And that's why I mentioned about those suns that Femi has brought out of the shadows. So basically they're already, and I've seen one sun. Other than the sun that you see every day, I've seen another one out there, but I've never seen three suns before. So she's bringing two suns out to be people on the planet are going to see these three suns. And they're positioned on the planet to where it'll never be night. It'll always be day. And she's trying to convince the evils of the powerful. Listen to me. You know, I'm trying to tell you something here. So if I get these three suns shining out here, you know that this is not something that you can explain away from the people that sees this, because regular people, human beings that walk this earth every day, going to work, going to school, whatever, are going to actually see these three suns. They're not going to be kidding. So they're actually going to see this. So they're going to wonder what is going on. And they're going to run to their leaders, their congressmen, their senators. They're going to try to go everywhere and find out what in the world is going on in this universe. Is it time now for the, what is it, Space Command? Or what did Trump say? Space Force?
Right.
You know, can the Space Force do something about these suns out here? What's going on? Are we being invaded? And see, people right now, to this day, the majority of them don't believe that there's nobody here but us, that there's nobody in the entire universe but human beings, you know, and that is not true. So when they see these suns, it's going to be like, wait a minute, we're not alone. There's something going on here, so we want answers. So, but when everybody laid down and was asleep, you know, they try to explain it away like, oh, God is coming and all this. And everybody ran to their preachers and all this stuff. And then they told them lies, you know, like, you know, the president just told them, you know, told his press secretary or whatever, whoever works for him, you know, just tell them that it was just something happened and it ain't going to happen again, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a mess.
And like you say, the other people, I don't know what you call them, entities, I think that they have positioned themselves and they have put themselves in powerful positions. You know, I think that's why all of this time, that's what they've been moving. It's like moving themselves. And so they all got themselves in position and, you know, they ready to do the takeover. And, you know, and this is something that, like I say, it didn't just start. This has been going on for centuries. But, and the pyramids, has something to do with it, because I do feel like that is something to do with out of space. You know, people had different theories with the pyramids, but it's something there. What would you get ready to say, Sister Seta?
I was gonna say that in the last novel, Bright Light, you know, we found out at the end that there were entities walking among the president and all his people in the White House,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't
mm-hmm.
see them. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
Femi Azuri saw them. So, yeah, they're there. So, and then they want to try to pretend and say, well, what are they talking about, you know? Well, go ahead,
yeah,
Sister Bill.
They did a movie. They did a movie. I don't forget the name of it. But the alien, you know, they looked it like us, but they certain people, you know, found out that who they were and they were killing them. But the alien became the president. You know, and that's why I'm saying they have put themselves in certain positions of power for the takeover.
Exactly.
Now,
excuse me. Go ahead, Sabea. Go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about something, but go ahead. Finish that.
No, you're fine because I think I lost my train of thought. But go ahead, Sister Bill.
Okay. But I was thinking about what L.A., what Ramon had said the other day when he talked about the stars in the sky. And, you know, I know when you take the airplane at night, you know, and I did that one time. I was up in the sky, and I'm like, where's the stars at, you know? And I didn't see
mm-hmm.
it, but I ain't really paid, you know, it just left my mind after I didn't see it. But then when he said it, I'm like, okay, well, somebody else noticed it. You know, you look like you should really be able to see the stars. Seem like you're closer to them, but it's no stars up there.
Well, you know, I had a friend that I used to talk to that we would talk on a regular basis about speculative fiction
mm-hmm.
and speculative
mm-hmm.
nonfiction. And
mm-hmm.
We used to talk, we kind of bounced it around, you know, about about all of this is an illusion. That everything
mm-hmm.
that we see is an illusion to satisfy the mind of the human being. You know, that we are under some type of a dome, that we all are, and that you really can't go outside of that. There's nothing outside of that dome. Now, you know, and we also talked about the stars being, you know, as far as stars and moon and sun, all of that is in this dome that has been prepared for our minds. Anything outside
mm.
this dome is not what we see, like, you know, like you see stars and the moon. You know, all that
mm-hmm.
is within. It's
mm.
is within, like in a glass, like a snow globe. Basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
we kind of passed that along. And no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just saying,
no,
it's no like it's nothing there, and then when you shake it, then you see the, you know, the snow or the stars. But that I just thought that was just really interesting. That years ago I noticed that when I was up in the plane, I'm like, where is the stars? I see the clouds, and I even see now, you know, whatever that's up there, it is not real clouds. I see the real clouds, and then I see something else that looked like clouds, and it's a blank, you know, it's like a blanket, because clouds kind of break up. But this, what they got up there now, it's like a blanket over the whole city, you know, and there's no break in it. It's like it's covering the sun up or something.
Yeah, that it does feel like that, like I said, everything has been, I guess, made for us, maybe made to order. You know, it's like something said, well, look, you know, I'm going to put these little, you know, these little sparkly things up there because they make, you know, and we'll name that, you know, stars for them. And then we're going to put
mm-hmm.
this sun out here so that it could keep them nourished, you know, so it can grow stuff
mm-hmm.
for them because, you know, they have to, they require food to eat, plants, stuff like that. So we're going to put that out there for them. And then we're going to put a night light at night and call it the moon so they can see stuff at
mm-hmm.
night by the moon, you know, every so often.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I think it's all been prepared for us.
Okay.
I think it's a reality that we have in our mind, you know, because I don't see this kind of stuff. When I'm asleep at night, I do travel, and I don't see none of this. Why can't I see the sun? Why can't I see the moons and stars when I dream?
You're
and I
right.
I have dreamed about everything you can think of except for that, except for this reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
You know,
you're right. When you think about, because you see yourself in certain places, but you're right. When I think about it, when the last time I dreamed about the sun or standing
mm-hmm.
out in the moon? Now, I have mm-hmm. dreamed about, space and going through black holes and things like that. But when I think about it, I never have dreamed about the sun, you know, and things like that. And I think this might be part of the awakening that is going on here, you know, because now we're starting to see the illusion or whatever that is going on.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, we're starting to, it's like we got those, what do you call those glasses that you have on, and virtual reality glasses. And now it's
mm-hmm.
like we're taking the glasses off and we like, whoa, where are we at?
Yeah, like, and that's like we don't need glasses no more.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's something because we just living and ain't really thinking about it. And like you say, when you start bringing things up like this to people, then they want to think something wrong with you, or they just.
Hello, Sister Beth.
Okay, yeah, that's my phone. It keeps cutting off. Now, you say that you are working on another book. What's that book about?
Area 51.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the name.
I told you about Cosmic Legacy. Area Chemistry, Area 51.
Okay.
It's about... Well, I'm just going to give a little bit away.
Okay.
Of course, I don't know if you have Facebook or not, but on Facebook, they had this thing out where they were going to storm Area 51, right? And back
mm-hmm.
in September. I think a lot of people heard about that. So it's about 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
million people were supposed to go and storm Area 51 to find out what's going on Area 51. And of course, if you come even... 100 miles of the place, you getting shot down or whatever. It's so secretive.
So
now that's one place. Yeah, that is one place that nobody can ever know what's going on. Maybe Dulce
mm-hmm.
in New Mexico, they might know a little bit what's going on. And there's also
mm-hmm.
another place in Ohio that they have something secretive going on in there. But Area 51
and Antarctic.
And the Antarctic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I know the Area 51. Now they have some pictures of the in the Antarctic, but you know, they've got a few things, but not like Area 51. You will never be
mm-hmm.
able. Nobody has ever been able to know what's going on in that joint right there. So
mm-hmm.
this novel is about this young man who always wanted to go to see what was happening at Area 51. But of course
mm-hmm.
he wasn't ever able to get in. So
mm-hmm.
he's going to wake up and he's waking up with no memory where he's been, where he come from, but it was
mm-hmm.
but he was in somewhere in Arizona. And so
okay.
that's about all I can say about that.
Okay, so we can imagine.
So,
I can see him getting into Area 51 some kind of way, and amazing at what he sees there.
He's not going to be able to get in.
Oh,
he was
not?
Never
okay.
able to get in. Right.
Okay.
But it's a lot in my brain is going on with that. And, you know,
okay.
to this day,
okay.
I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's something about Area 51 that's really, really puzzling and secretive.
Mm.
It has a lot to do
that
with those.
What we were talking about earlier, you know?
Exactly.
The aliens.
Yeah.
Because that's where they
but it's
crashed,
more than,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then they try to play it down like it didn't happen. They also had a crash and was spotted in Minot, North Dakota, you know, where, you know, in these novels is where those ships went. Well, they actually knew that Femi was being born at the time in the city over from Minot, North Dakota. And so all the little gadgets, and, you know, they lay dormant. And then after she was born, all the gadgets started moving around, you know, because they knew she was ready, you know, to do whatever, you know, do what they needed to do. So they woke up. She, like, woke them up. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, it's sort of like that. Area 51, it's going to be very interesting. That novel's going to be very interesting.
Okay. Because the rest of them are. Well, we're getting down on time. And one more time, let them know where they can get a book, and if they want a book that's autographed, where they can get that.
Okay, if you go to my website, Chemistry with the K, K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y, files.com, chemistryfiles.com, I have my email on there. We can go to that back page and, you know, just email me, give me your information where I need to send the book. I will autograph it for you and send it to you. You can also go to Amazon.com. They are there in paperback and also in Kindle. So now on Gumroad, G-U-M-R-O-A-D, Gumroad.com, I do have the first audio book out there of Bright Light, the first one where you can listen to it instead of reading it if you like, and it's on sale over there on Gumroad.com. I've already recorded the other four, but I haven't put them out there yet. So you can get the first one there on Gumroad.com.
Okay. So maybe we don't need to finish the books here. You know, it's like get almost to the finish so they can go and find out what happens at the end of the book.
Yeah, I think the war will be okay, but the last two, I don't think I'm going to do the last two because the last two is really, it's mind-blowing on those last two.
Okay.
Maybe I should do the, I don't know, the fourth one is like, that's really mind-blowing. That you get to the evil then, you know. I mean, they have a backstory too. So
okay.
I might read maybe a chapter from 9X. That's the one I'm speaking of. That's when the evils get together and start discussing about us.
That should be interesting. Well, Sister Seta, Aset, I thank you, and I look forward to next week and much success. And we looking forward to come out on either the TV or the movie screen. So that's what we're waiting for. But in the meantime, we enjoy it, listening to it here. And we thank you for your time and your creation.
Well, I thank you too, Sister Beverly, for giving me the chance to come on here and read it to the people. You know, I'd love to hear from the people, but yeah, you know, that would be great, but I don't mind reading it to them at all. And I'm hoping that they're enjoying it as well.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to play your song. And this is your song that's going to be played when the movie come out. So thank you, Sister Seta, and much success. Peace and love and Mayotte
Hotep.
Thank you. Okay.
Mayotte Hotep.